What you're about to listen to was originally broadcast on 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia. For details, go to the website 98five.com.
Yes, Footloose Kitty Loggins, you are on 98.5 and welcome Graham Irvine from Kingsway Christian College.
Good morning, my friend.
Nice to have you back in.
I was just thinking, if only my dance moves looked like that video clip, but trust me, they do not. And if my wife had heard me say that, she would have nodded her head in total agreement. So, yes.
I can understand. I'm not surprised.
This white man don't dance, let me tell you.
I can relate. I don't know. Good to have you back here. Look, we're almost...
Thanks, are we
getting close to the end of the personalities types that we've been chatting about?
Yeah, look, I thought we'd finish them up today. So we're going to probably push them through a little bit because we've got two to do. Because I think the next time we're together is our...
After school holidays. Obviously.
That's right. Yeah, yes. And so, interestingly enough, you're chatting with Dr. Stewart. About anxiety and depression.
Yes.
And I just thought one of the topics we really have never covered is anxiety and parenting. So I thought it'd be interesting to have that conversation.
Love it.
And in fact, I was thinking as I was listening to you guys and your terrible jokes on the way down this morning.
Oh, come on, Graham.
Seriously. Right. Anyway, I was thinking, you know, it'd be interesting. One of the stats that comes out of the whole anxiety research is that if children haven't developed good skills to cope with those anxious situations by the time they're 11, it often becomes a clinical thing that they have to then go through. And as you were talking about, you know, certainly as the doc was talking about, he sees men just about on a daily basis.
He does.
With anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And one of the things why I thought it'd be good to chat about this parenting-wise is because if we could catch it and help our kids grow with the skills to deal with anxious situations, maybe that would reduce his clientele somewhat.
He might be interested.
He might be,
So we'll tackle that.
We'll do that in the third term.
Third term. Look, there's a whole term's worth.
Yeah, I think so too.
It's a great,
there's a lot of great things to have. Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
So personalities, again, connected in well with this morning because, again, one of the things I thought, you know, there's an old adage, know yourself.
Yeah.
And so while we've been talking about personalities and parenting, you know, there's a fundamental idea here, Mike, that says if you and I can know ourselves a little bit better, if we can understand our own personalities a little bit better, then that's going to help with a whole lot of areas in life, including why we respond and react the way we do to certain situations.
Yeah.
So, okay. So summarizing, we've looked at choleric.
Yes,
last time, and which was their motto is do it my way. Mm-hmm. Their fear in life is being out of control.
Yep.
So mottos and fears are really important in that whole parenting space. Mm. And then we first of all looked at the sanguine, whose motto in life is have fun.
Yes.
And their fear in life is people not liking them. Mm. Right? So the third personality type is the melancholy.
Okay.
And their motto in life is do it the right way.
Right. Yes.
Okay. So melancholies love to plan. They love charts.
Yep.
If you're a listener out there and your favorite app is Excel, you're probably in that melancholy area.
I love Excel.
There you go. Yep. Yep.
I love it.
Right. So, you know, everything to them is about making sure you do it the right way.
Spot on. That's it.
Because if you're going to do something, do it the right way.
That's exactly right.
And oftentimes, melancholies will fall into the planning cycle and not get a whole lot done.
Love planning.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. But you've got to keep planning to make sure you get it right.
That's right.
But that's sometimes you just don't do anything.
That's right. Thanks for that reminder.
So in the parenting space, you know, as a melancholy, you imagine if you're the do it the right way and you're parenting a do it the fun way, and we go, oh, I wonder why we have so much conflict.
Absolutely.
Well, because when I say to you, clean your room, and I'm a melancholy, what is it that I mean, Mike?
Well,
as the melancholy of this partnership.
There's a whole list.
There is, isn't there?
There's a list of things.
And where would it start?
Because it's on the spreadsheet.
That's right.
On the Excel spreadsheet.
Yes, and you've got to tick it off as you go.
Exactly.
So it'd be make sure everything's away exactly where it's meant to
put
be.
Put it back in the drawer, pick everything up off the floor, empty the rubbish bin, make the beds.
That's right. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yes.
But if I'm speaking as a melancholy to my sanguine 13-year-old and I say, clean your room.
I just move it.
That's it.
That's it.
Well, the clean room is a path between the door and the bed.
Yes, exactly.
Everything else pushed to the side.
And that is fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Because that's okay.
Yeah.
Because that's just having fun.
That's it.
In fact, as I start to clean my room, I'll find that toy that I lost 3 months ago.
And go, playing. Yeah.
Oh, yay. Fantastic. Let's and the parent will come back in an hour's time and say, what are you doing? I found this dinosaur and I remember that. Yeah.
I told you to clean
that's
the room.
It. That's exactly right.
Hence the clash.
That's exactly right.
Frustration.
That's right. So as the adult melancholy, I probably have to back off a little bit in my expectation. Not totally.
Yeah, okay.
But I just need to understand that your sanguine child is never going to clean your room, their room, to your expectations. So, they just don't see the world like that.
And then if you understand that, saves a whole...
Reduces the whole amount of stress in the house, Mike.
Indeed.
Yes, it does.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and chat some more. You are on 98.5, back after Young and Free. 98.5 weekdays with Mike. Graham Irvine's with me from Kingsway Christian College. You know, Excel is just the best. Excel does so much.
It does.
Formulas,
it does.
Columns.
I know, yeah.
I just love using Excel.
Stop it.
It's really clever.
You're just making me sweat just to think of the challenges of using it.
Oh, it's quite funny, though, isn't it?
It is, isn't it?
Because I could talk to my wife and she'd say, no, I don't.
That's right. I don't care.
That's okay with the word dog. Excel, don't get it. Don't want to know about it.
Yep. And I'm sort of probably somewhere in between. Yeah. So, you know, that's the deal. Right? You talk to your child who's a melancholy about Excel, and they're there.
That's right.
Right? You walk into their room, and they've got their study timetable.
I love that.
You know that. Yeah. But if you try and impose that on your, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sanguine.
Sanguine, thank you.
Yeah.
Your sanguine child.
Mental blank.
Oh, dear. it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
Right? Because... we see, you know, this is the deal. We see the world through different lenses, right? And so if I can understand my lens and then understand your lens, then at least we're going to find some compromise. Mm. Otherwise, what it comes down to, and somebody used this illustration, I thought it was a great metaphor. It comes down to each of us standing on a different mountaintop and shouting at the other person.
That's a good analogy.
You know, and we know that we're being spoken to, but we actually don't hear the words,
That's right?
And you've got to come down off the mountaintops into the valley to go, okay, let me try to... Now, I'm never going to see the world as a melancholy. I'm just not.
That's just the way... Yeah, that's right.
But that's okay. Yeah. At least if I understand about how a melancholy sees the world, I can do that better. Now, our middle child has that melancholy trait in her, you know, and I had to remember that if I didn't remember, she would.
Right.
Right? I can remember on many occasions, she would come to me and say, Dad, you haven't given me my pocket money. And I go, of course I gave you, just the other day. And she would roll her eyes, walk back to her room and come out with an exercise book with the date and the amount that I'd given up and go, see, for the last 4 weeks you have not. Now, that was
brilliant.
Before spreadsheets, before Excel, because if it was now, she'd bring out her tablet with her Excel spreadsheet.
That's it.
And that's great. You know, that's the difference between us. But in understanding it in our parenting. So the motto in life is do it the right way. Mm. Guess what the fear is?
Doing it, making a mistake.
That's it.
Yeah.
Right? So again, for our middle girl, right, I think probably 2 weeks before her major art assignment was due, she destroyed the one that she'd been working on.
Would you call that being a perfectionist?
Yeah.
Is that, yeah. Okay.
Because it just wasn't right.
Yeah.
And so one of the things as a parent we had to teach our melancholy child was sometimes perfect is not going to happen. Mm. So just do your best. So... Yeah. You know, melancholies are often more, again, coming in with this morning's chat with the doc, more open to depression and anxiety.
Right.
Because they want to get it right.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. And, oh my goodness, if I don't get it right, the whole world falls apart.
Yeah.
So, you know, the melancholies of history are the Leonardo da Vinci's and the Michelangelo's, and they're very much that creative, deep thinking, you know, you often don't get a lot out of a melancholy child.
Right.
So you again, you know, in your parenting, you've got to go recognize that the melancholy child will love being on their own.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So isolation is not a punishment for a melancholy.
They love it.
They love it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So put them in the middle of the room where everybody's talking. No, find something else.
Yeah.
But you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
For the sanguine, time out is yeah. like, oh my goodness.
That is a serious right?
as
punishment.
As it is for the choleric.
Yeah.
Because they want to do what they want to do.
Of course.
Right? Okay, but for the melancholy, it's your beauty.
Yeah.
But remember, if you've got multiple siblings in the house, your melancholy child needs that time to be on their own.
Mm.
So as the parent, you may have to manage that.
Mm. And that's the challenge, isn't it?
Because totally.
Even thinking about four, if you've got three or four kids.
That's exactly right.
Highly likely, they are all completely different personalities.
That's right. That's right. And even if they're similar, they're going to be different mixes of strengths and weaknesses.
Yes.
Right? So, yes, each of them are going to be unique. So we had three. The middle one was quite different to the other two.
Yeah.
But the eldest and the youngest, while they're similar, they're different because their strengths and weaknesses are different.
Mm.
So, yeah, just knowing actually adds a whole
Massive.
Dimension to your parenting that you don't have if you don't know.
That's it. Graham, we'll take a break. We'll come back and wrap up with the final one.
Yes.
Which is?
Oh, I can't remember.
Do you know what? I couldn't remember either.
Phlegmatic.
And I thought if I asked you.
I was going to say phlegmatic and who really cares, so but we'll get to that.
Back after Beyonce. .985 weekdays with Mike. Graham Irvine is with me from Kingsway Christian College. We've been going through and covering the whole four different personality types.
We have.
To the lucky last.
We are.
Phlegmatic.
Phlegmatic, yeah. So the word actually means slow moving.
Is that right? That's
where it comes from in the
that.
Greek. Yes.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it was, you know, that the blood is slow moving. This is why this person doesn't rush things.
Right.
So the motto of the phlegmatic is why do it at all?
Oh, I see. Okay.
So for the phlegmatic, they're always saving it up for a rainy day.
Okay.
Now, my dad was probably about 150% phlegmatic. And
right.
Gay and I were just chatting the other day, and she was recounting the story of not long after we were married and Mum and Dad visiting us, and Gay asking, would he like a tea or a coffee?
Mm.
Now, the phlegmatic response was, whatever you're making.
Okay. I'm sure there's a lot of people that can relate to that.
So right. Why do it at all? So why hold an opinion? It's just too much effort, right? You make the decision for me. In fact, I was talking to my older brother just the other day, and he said to me, you know, I cannot remember a time when Dad finished his meal before anybody else at the table.
Right. Is that the
growing
whole,
up in our family?
Is that the whole pace?
Yes.
The whole slow?
That's slow. Yep.
Okay.
Just take it easy.
What's the rush?
That's it. That's
are they,
exactly
are they
right.
not conscious of time? They wouldn't be time conscious.
Look,
probably.
Again, that little bit depends on the mix. So
yeah.
I'm a sanguine phleg mix.
Yep.
But in my phlegmatic, I have some melancholy traits.
Okay.
So we're just talking about travel. So if you talk to my friends about how I like to travel, I like everything. I like a spreadsheet for travel.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I like to know where we're going, when we're arriving, it's booked.
Yep.
So I don't like the stress
of the not knowing.
And that's part of that phlegmatic nature.
Mm.
So they can be quite detail-oriented. The challenge is just motivating them to do something.
Right.
But what's really interesting, so think about this with your kids.
Mm.
So what's really interesting, though, is once they've made a decision that they're going to do something, getting them to not do it is really difficult.
Oh, okay.
So they are very tenacious
right.
in what they do,
yeah.
right? Because their fear in life is change.
Right. Okay.
Right? So why do it at all is
yeah.
their motto.
Yeah.
Their fear is change.
Yeah.
Okay. So if you can overcome the why do it at all, so if you're parenting a phlegmatic, you've got to look for ways of motivating them.
Mm.
Okay. Because they're not naturally self-disciplined. You know, the melancholy and the choleric, quite self-disciplined. Sanguine, not quite so much,
mm.
right? But the phlegmatic, even less so. So you've got to look for ways of helping them to learn, because you can, self-discipline,
yeah. Yeah.
right?
Okay.
Once you've motivated them,
mm.
because their fear in life is change. Okay, well, I'm going to do this, and I'm not going to change because I don't like change.
Oh, I see.
Right? So that's that balance that you have to find with them.
Are they caring type of...
Oh, absolutely, yes.
I was just thinking as you were running through that.
Are they... So the sanguine loves people. That's what energizes them. The choleric likes people because they need people to tell what to do. Melancholy, they don't mind.
Yeah.
But they're much more comfortable with themselves. The phlegmatic nature is probably the most even of all of them.
Right.
So they're really good listeners. They don't like conflict. So a mature phlegmatic will be a really good reducer of conflict. So they often are, you know, good negotiating skills, good diplomatic type skills. Counselors often make good phlegmatics.
I was just thinking or counseling. Vice of,
you know, phlegmatics make good counselors.
Yeah.
Because they're really good at listening.
Right.
Right. Because, to be honest with you, it's just too much trouble to tell you my story.
Okay.
It's amazing when you look at it how much those fears and mottos in life play into everything each of the personalities do. Mm. And so even if... interesting, from our last chat, I had somebody email me at the college and ask, did I have any more information? And, of course, I... suggested that they have a look at Florence Littow's books.
The book, great book.
It's a Personality Plus. Mm. Look, seriously, if you have never read it, go and read it.
It is brilliant.
It is, isn't it, Mike?
I've got a couple of copies.
Right, even if you only remember 10% of what you read out of it, it will revolutionise the way that you think about yourself and the people around you, but particularly with your parenting. So there's a Personality Plus for parents, which just is wonderful at helping families go, okay, now I get it.
Yeah.
And if you can get it, you can do something about it.
Because without that, if you have no idea about all of this, it can be really frustrating.
Oh, totally.
And it is absolutely a light bulb moment. Hey,
look, I remember the first time I had read the book and I was doing some business coaching, right? And the guy that I was coaching was a really strong melancholy. And we'd been doing this for about 6 months. He would walk away from a coaching session totally frustrated, as would I. Because as a melancholy, he wanted the trees. And as a sanguine, I wanted to just give him the forest. Right? We both read the book and went, ah, now I understand why you frustrate me. Now, you know, he was a good friend.
Yeah.
Right? But he still, we frustrated each other because we saw the world differently. And our expectations of being together and having a conversation were different.
Yeah,
and so as adults, we were able to make some changes and readjust our expectations.
Interesting. Spreadsheet tells me it's out of time, according to my Excel. I've added all of the formulas.
Yeah, I noticed the light flashing. Yes, formulas.
The formulas in Excel. Are you familiar with it? No. Formulas, you can... It's just... It does so much. You can divide that and work out.
Help, get me out of here.
Graham, look, it's been great unpacking the whole four personalities.
Yeah.
It kind of wraps that up for this term.
Yep.
So we'll catch up after the school holidays, after the July school holidays, and just give us a reminder of what we spoke, in case you've just tuned in, looking forward to really talking about this topic.
Yeah, so look, we're going to dig into this idea of how do we parent in a way that gives our children good skills to deal with anxiety.
Yeah.
Okay, and there's so many, you know, it's about resilience, it's about self-talk, it's about a whole lot of things. But the research is absolutely solid that if we don't help our children develop good anxiety coping skills by the time they're 11, they often can end up in a clinician type situation to try and deal with it. So I think that's really worth it, particularly given the fact of the increasing, you know, anxiety that we see in kids over the last couple of years with COVID and isolation and all of that. I think that's a good topic to do.
Looking forward to that. Enjoy the school holidays.
Thanks, mate.
Teachers,
no question about it.
You do have a break, so enjoy your break. We'll catch up after the holidays.
You bet. Thanks, mate.
You are on 98.5. My guest in the studio this morning has been Graham Irvine from Kingsway Christian College. You are on 98.5. Good morning.
For more details on this and other programs, contact 98.5 Sunshine FM, Perth, Western Australia, or visit the website 98five.com.